We really appreciate the time that you're dedicating to us this morning, so we want to begin promptly. I do have to say, you know, the listening session, the first time we scheduled one, I thought we were not going to use the whole time. The previous two yesterday were full of comments for 90 minutes. So I expect the same thing today. So let's begin right away. I'm not in charge of this. In fact, the first thing that I want to recognize is Dan Houston, the co-chair of the committee, is here today. Thank you for being here, Dan. And we as well have some members of the Board of Regents. So Sherry's here. Thank you very much. Sherry Bates. And then if there are members of the search committee here, could you please raise your hands? Thank you. Thank you for being here. We also have the group that is going to be leading the session. So AUB search consultants, Jim Fitzgerald and Janice. Jim Fitzgerald and Janice McCormick. Oh, sorry, I got it completely the opposite around. Jim McCormick, Janice Fitzgerald. they're going to be running the session today. The purpose today is we need to craft the story. We need to craft the story of Iowa State that is going to represent the institution as we search for this group of potential candidates to occupy the presidency of this institution. It should be a story of a place where there are opportunities to make a mark, but a story also that highlights all of our strengths. You know, it should be a story that also talks about the community, not only the Iowa State community, but the state of Iowa community, and actually highlights why this is, as I said, you know, in the Board of Regents meeting the other day, in my mind, the best place to become a president right now in the United States. So we're looking for your help. You know, we want to understand from you, and that's what, you know, our consultants are going to do today. We want to talk a little bit about all the challenges that we have, recognizing that every challenge is an opportunity. You know, after that, you know, what are the qualities of this person that is going to occupy the position? And for me, very importantly at the end, is to ask the question of why Iowa State and why now? And hopefully we'll dedicate some time to this question. So, Dan, you want to say something before we continue?
No, nothing to add.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And with that, I'm just going to pass it to you, Jim and Janice.
Good morning, everyone. Again, I am Janice Fitzgerald. I am going to be sitting and taking notes. This session is being recorded for your university, but I'm also going to be taking notes. And they will be without attribution, but we hope that you are able to feel comfortable during this session, that you will be candid in your views and your observations, and that you will speak up, knowing that everything that you say will contribute to the kinds of attributes that we are seeking in your new president and the kinds of things that you know that this person will have to undertake when she or he comes. So be just as free and candid and friendly as you can and open, and I'll turn this over to my longtime colleague, Jim McCormick, and he will give you some background on the process for AGB search. AGB, by the way, is for the Association of Governing Boards. They have a search office, and we are part of it, along with 37 colleagues.
Thank you, Janice. And we want you to know how pleased we are to have the opportunity to assist the search committee with this very important activity of selecting your next leader. AGB, as Janice said, is an organization about 90 years old, owned and operated by Trustees of America, both private and public. The AGB search part is the one that she mentioned, and we're associated primarily with that. And we've done 500 or 600 searches, not us, but the firm. And Janice, the two of us, work primarily, since we've had positions of chancellor and president, we work primarily with chief executive officers and presidents, chancellors. And this will be, this is a great opportunity, it's obvious. And there are basically, it is public, the first announcement of the timeline. And I won't bore you by going over the details, but there's three or four big areas. The first, and we believe this based upon our experience, the first thing that's so important is what we call a pre-search. And it's our experience as a firm that we need to be listening and to be here. We were here 3 days last week. We're here 3 or 4 days this week. And we will be listening, meeting leadership, meeting with student leaders, meeting with all of these groups, and trying to listen to your thoughts about three areas: the challenges that this new president will face. Secondly, what kind of characteristics and experience do you think we need for that person to meet the challenges? And then a great discussion will be, why would somebody want to come here? And I think it can be a great story, but we want to hear from you. And so the first phase is listening. Before one word goes into the very extensive ad that we will develop that will go across the country and beyond, we'll be talking to people that we know for nominations. Before one word goes down, we want to listen to everything that we can. And then that profile and that advertisement that will be in the Chronicle and all over the country will come back to the search committee to see if that's what they are thinking, and there's time to change it. It'll also go back to the board at the same time. So we want to know before we tell the world what we're headed for, that we have got it right as far as the search committee is concerned, and that we have it right as far as the board. And board members are here. They're all listening. I should tell you that several members of the board have taken the time to be at these listening sessions, and I thank you for that because you're the final decision makers in this process. So, first phase is this business of listening and getting the world to know what we need and what we're looking for. The second phase is building the pool, and we'll take a few weeks to do that. We have lots of contacts. We'll be looking for nominations, and it's possible any of you that believe that you know of a person that would be the right one, it'll be very clear how you can nominate. Don't hesitate to do that, because many of you, faculty and others, have connections around the country. You may know some of your distinguished graduates that might be possibilities, and so we welcome that. And the committee, the search committee, will sort all that out as they meet a deadline, which will be coming up. And then at the end kind of this building the pool will be an opportunity for the search committee to actually to take a little time. They'll have 2 weeks to look at every electronic application, resume, and something about the references. They will have this to think through. And then we'll have a meeting here, at which time the search committee will kind of look through, study, think, and we should arrive at 8 or 10 semifinalists that we would like to look at further. The semifinalists, we will do reference checks and all of that on those individuals. And that will lead about 2 weeks later to an interview where the search committee will be meeting with each one of the semifinalists. And growing out of that will be some decision about the 3 to 5 that will go forward to the board to consider. The chair of the board at the first meeting indicated that they would like to get from the committee 3 to 5 possibilities for them to consider. And we'll continue with the vetting and the reference checking. And at some point in pretty early fall, the board will be in a position to make a decision. And I think it's the hope of the board that maybe our new person could be here for the second semester. That ought to be kept a little bit fluid, depending on contracts and the ability of that person to come forward. So I don't want to lock in on that, but that's the process. We do one more thing at AGB Search, and that is that we are committed to helping this new person working with the board to support a transition. Now, we don't do the transition plan, but we try to make sure that the transition plan from your interim and the new person is clearly worked out. And then we stay with the new candidate and check in with the board about once a month to see if there's anything that we need to do. It's clear in the research that the first year of a new president is so important. If they get off to a good start, it usually goes well. If things go off the rail, then sometimes there can be problems. We try to not interfere, but try to assist. Now, another reason why we have to work so hard to look at all the literature, look at the institution, and try to learn it, there'll be many phone calls where these candidates, after they're nominated or after they want to talk to one of us. and we'll want to be able to know as much as we can. And we always say to them, if there's something we don't know, we will find a way through the university to get the information without revealing who they are. So this is a confidential search right up to those that visit the campus, then it becomes public. And the faculty members have, and everybody on the committee, and there's several here, have made a commitment to keep that confidentiality up to that point. Well, that's maybe too much on the process, but I wanted to tell you basically how it will work. And we're very close to the search committee. So the beauty of the search committee, it's quite large, is that all of you continuing, if you have thoughts, can get to that search committee. And I think there's going to be a plan for those faculty members and students and others who weren't able to be here that they can email the committee. Do you want to say a word about that?
Yeah, you're going to get sick of hearing me say this. We want the search to be as comprehensive as possible. It is very important for us to reach out to as many people as we can. We know that it's a challenge over the summer, but that's why we have created the email address presidentsearch@iastate.edu. Anybody can actually send right now comments that we will consider for to craft this story. Preferably, we're thinking that by next Monday is when we want those comments, because then that will give us around a week to actually do the first draft. There's also a website for the search, www.presidentsearch.iastate.edu, and we'll actually, you know, posting all the information that is necessary for people to participate in the process. I have a background in public participation, and we always say that the room is always smarter than the individual. In this case, we want to create this virtual room, you know, that will allow us to really navigate this process as successfully as possible.
Now, for the reason we're here, to listen, and I will not editorialize on what you say. We will listen. I hope everybody here weighs in. I may walk around the room a little later and make sure everybody has a chance to say something, but let's start with the question. What are the challenges that this new leader is going to face at this great university? Let's just talk about that for a while. And I'll bring the microphone to anybody who would like to start.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for this opportunity.
Good morning.
It seems to me that at least some of the challenges that the next president will face are justifying a bricks and mortar campus in the age of the internet. Parents and students are clamoring more and more for online courses, and what we have here is a magnificent facility. How can we make sure that students, parents, and frankly the taxpayers of Iowa understand why it's so important to keep this going? And then secondly, given the diminishing federal and state support specifically for research, the president will face a great challenge in maintaining our AAU status, and again, in also justifying what we do, how we do it, and why we do it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just a bit of follow-up on that. So to be a destination for all, President will need to further develop a very effective communication network and be able to receive accurate information and listen, especially to avoid crisis situations which have plagued a number of universities recently. So the communication has certainly to the legislator, the governor, the Board of Regents, but there may already be, but definitely an emphasis to the voting public and the parents in Iowa, a very comprehensive communication framework plan to really define why and when a four-year degree is very important and what the attributes of Iowa State are that are important for students to be here at this institution. So I think that that communication, to extend it further than maybe has been done in the past. And also for the students, to communicate to the students and build on the positive student experience and the cost that they face and what the benefits are.
Thank you.
I think one of the challenges that the incoming president would have to face is to create a climate of sensitivity around multicultural awareness and sensitivity, because the students and staff and faculty of this university come from very, very diverse backgrounds in some ways, but not in others. And so in a climate of increased polarization, that experience is also playing out within this community. And so sensitivity to this aspect of life and setting a climate of compassion, awareness, sensitivity to each other will be important to attract and keep the talent of students who can contribute and staff and members of faculty who can really make a difference in that way.
Thank you. Others?
Thank you. I'm not going to speak directly to the story right now. I have a meeting to go to, so I just want to throw in my two cents. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different. It really speaks to what I see as the characteristics that we need to address for the next president. I've reviewed the materials that you've provided, and I see noted that it is necessary to be able to communicate with our legislators, and also to be skilled in reaching out to various constituent groups, which are listed as students, alumni, business, faculty, staff, regents, donors. But I think there's a group missing here, and that group is the taxpayers of the state of Iowa. Some of you may not be aware, but only 23.9% of Iowans have a bachelor's degree, and 7.2% have an advanced degree. What does that tell us? It tells us that the vast majority of Iowans have somewhat loose ties to Iowa State University, no matter how important the institution is to those of us who work here, who live in Ames, or who have a connection that's much closer to the university. So what does that mean? Well, legislators appropriate money, as Senator Kornbach is well aware. But the taxpayers are the ones that we raise it from. So I hope that as the search committee proceeds, that one of the characteristics, one of the skills, one of the qualities that you look for in a new president is someone who can, and I hate this little bit fuzzy word, relate to and sell and make relevant Iowa State University, the need for a bachelor's degree or a more advanced degree to help advance Iowa society and Iowa's economy. Without the ability to make that case directly to the taxpayers, to make the university relevant, I fear that we'll continue to be in the situation where state appropriations have dropped from 31% of the university's revenue base to a mere 18.4% in the year 2015, the last for which I was able to get data. What this says is that if we cannot reach the people from whom we are raising the money, no matter how skilled the next president is in speaking to legislators or speaking to donors, we will have missed the vast mark of the funds necessary to keep Iowa State University more than a public university in name only. And so those are the characteristics that I hope the committee will incorporate among the list that you already have.
Thank you.
Thank you. We can work now on the challenges and the characteristics. Thank you, both on the table. So who would like to add on either one of those subjects? Yes.
I'd like to make sure there's diversity amongst the presidents of our three regent schools.
Okay. Others?
So may I do a follow-up question? Can you talk a little bit more about diversity, cultural backgrounds, origins, or just any? Okay.
Okay. Let's stay with the challenges, but if you have to go, we want to get your thoughts. other challenges that we ought to consider? Senator, we're always happy to have you say a word.
Well, thank you. I'm Herman Quernbach. I'm an associate professor of economics at Iowa State and also the ranking member in the Senate Education Committee. Let me make four quick points. Number one, I think that you need to look for someone with an academic background. Yes, certainly with administrative experience. But what you need to understand is that decision-making in a university environment is very different from other environments. Someone coming from a corporate background is used to a top-down command and control kind of situation where basically you can set directions, give orders, and ultimately if people don't carry out those orders, you can say, you're fired. We have an example in Washington, D.C. right now of someone from a corporate background who's trying to run a government, which is a very different environment, and whether you agree or disagree, I think it's pretty clear that he's having trouble dealing with separation of powers, checks and balances, constitutional limitations. It's a very different decision-making environment. It is also a very different decision-making environment in a university, where the vast majority of your key personnel, and I mean the faculty, have academic tenure. You can't fire them, all right, without a lot of procedure. So in an academic environment, you have to have someone who is able to lead by persuasion and lead by example. And I think that in order to get somebody who fully understands that, you need to have someone who has substantial amount of academic experience. Point number two, bridges from point number one, you want someone who strongly defends academic freedom. If we don't have the freedom of inquiry, if we don't have the freedom of thought, the freedom of discussion, the freedom of debate, you don't have a university. I don't know what you have, but you don't have a university. And right next to that, an essential part of that is someone who defends academic tenure. Someone, faculty that doesn't have job security, I'm sorry, we're all human, you're going to self-censor. You're not going to be as aggressive in pursuing the truth as you should be. So, third point, please find someone who is genuinely and sincerely committed to teaching. All right, I don't want just lip service. You're going to get lip service out of everybody. I want genuine commitment. The old rule is unfortunately still operative, publish or perish. And at a research university in particular, the reward system for the faculty is, notwithstanding the PR, it is weighted towards research and away from teaching. We need to have somebody who is willing to lean back against that prevailing tide. Okay? And the last point is to just share an observation. I had a conversation with a Republican colleague of mine in the Senate a couple of days after President Leith announced his retirement. And the person I was talking with, someone I regard as pretty straight arrow. I won't divulge the confidence of what he said, but I can tell you what I said. I reflected with him that he and I were elected to positions of responsibility, not positions of privilege. And I think that that's something that a university president needs to understand as well.
Thank you. Others?
I've heard now someone mention the importance of making an appeal to all Iowans, not just people associated with the university, and now also this appeal to think about someone who values teaching in addition to research. And I want to add to that that I believe this university already does a lot of great outreach, whether that's through research projects or through extension and outreach or other mechanisms. And I know for our office, we have a vested interest in staff and faculty wanting to get more involved in the work that we do, as well as there not necessarily being a clear reward structure for faculty members who want to do more outreach when again, the notion is that you have to publish.
Thank you.
It seems to me that we're asking for a Renaissance person, and that's understandable given the challenges, the daunting challenges that the president will face. But I also would like to make a pitch for someone who is transparent and collaborative in their decision-making. I'm sure you've heard that before, but it bears repeating. I would also like to make a pitch for someone who understands the importance of the humanities in a university of science and technology. I'm a chair in one of the humanities departments, and I appreciate the fact that we have an identity. We are the Iowa State University of Science and Technology, and we should hold on to that and appreciate it. But I also think that a president who understands that the humanities have a role at this institution is also absolutely crucial. That's someone who can be comfortable with politics, comfortable with business, but also comfortable with the humanities.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vivek Lawan. I'm the graduate student and president of Graduate and Professional Student Senate here. And so I'm also part of the search committee. During our search committee meeting last week, we discussed, and I just want to ask faculty members here, and I want to learn about it, that what if the candidate does not have a terminal degree? Could be a really good president or a good leader who can appreciate teaching, promote teaching, research, publication, all that part. But being the chair of the faculty senate, I guess, I'm not sure if he's a chair of faculty senate, but the leader of the faculty, how would faculty accept him or not accept him or her in this role if they do not have a terminal degree? I want to learn about it as a part of search committee.
Thank you, and there can be comments related to comments, of course, and so did you have a thought at this point? Okay. Sir, comments at this point?
I would like to say that probably one of the challenges that the president would have to face, I would like for him to be able to handle would be the security of the Iowa State, the data for the students, the faculty and staff, the research data, having that as one of the high priorities for the university to make sure that that is being secure so that information can be protected, as well as an opportunity for the university to work really closely with the city of Ames to be able to share information, to be able to get the Ames community, I feel, more involved. I feel like they're more part of the actual university, not actually just two different entities.
Yes, thank you.
I think one of the populations that hasn't really been addressed yet is staff. And as a member of the staff, I'd like to at least speak on their behalf. When it comes to research, that's the area that I work in primarily and support that. And so I would just like to really make a plea for someone who understands that it's okay to ask for more funding for research and to ask our faculty to do more in that arena, but we also need to have adequate staff to support it. Otherwise, the faculty end up doing a lot of the administrative work themselves, and that's not really what they should be doing. And I think we're kind of at a point where we need to do more with that, but we really don't have adequate funding support to do that.
Yeah.
I want to follow up on the staff comment that you just made. I'm a member of staff, and I work at the Students Counseling Service. And I'm aware that this year we're not going to get a raise. And money and being able to live a meaningful life is part of what we all aspire for. And I can already see that in my department, we are going to lose some members of staff who are very talented. They offer a lot to our team, and we are going to lose them. And we've already lost some in the past. And so thinking about finances for members of staff that don't come through the research and other means, it just seems somehow as a member of staff, and I'm only 3 years, That is an ignored kind of population. And if there's financial difficulties, it tends to be that my kind of area doesn't get a raise. And that is very demoralizing to us. Thank you.
You know, let me just make a comment. Yes, all of the members of the search committee are sworn to secrecy. We sign a legal document in the first meeting. We cannot share what happens in certain parts of the meetings. I mean, the meetings are going to be public, but when we discuss the candidates, part of those discussions will be confidential. But that doesn't stop any of them from listening. And the chair of PNS Council is sitting in the committee. You know, make sure that you communicate with that person that is your representative in the community as much and as often as possible. Same thing I will say, you know, for graduate students that have a representative, undergraduate students, and all the different departments have representation there. So, yes, we're in the listening mode until next Monday. We really appreciate getting all your input for that story that we're crafting, but never hesitate, you know, to contact any of us, or in particular somebody you know in the community, to let them know how you feel about all these different things. So,
I do appreciate the openness of the search and the email address that we can all send comments to, and the website that exists, and the fact that you're putting the audio commentary online. Like, that is all, I think, really good steps towards making this search open for more people to access it. So thank you for that. As the committee works together, I think it's important to note some of the things about the committee that exist in the optics that exist. So as people are looking at the list of the committee, they're seeing 8 women, 13 men. They're seeing 9 people who are exterior to Iowa State and 12 people who are inside, you know, currently on campus. They're seeing 4 regents on the search committee, plus 2 ex officio people from the Board of Regents, which sends an interesting optic to me, even though I'm reading up on the committee and keeping track of the search and all that. If you have just people looking at the list, they might wonder why the people who make the decision, the final decision, are also so ingrained in the process of selecting. So as the group, I hope that as the group works together, you can lift the voices of the people who are underrepresented. You mentioned staff. There's 1 staff member on the committee. There's 1 non-tenured faculty member. And there are 7 tenured faculty members. So just kind of keep those optics in mind as you're looking at who's at the table, who's not at the table, who's one person representing a very large portion of our campus, because we can say that faculty is the largest, but they're not. 4,000 staff on campus, and one person representing them. There's also, I think, on the list, there are 2 people listed as attorneys, but those are, in fact, the people that were nominated by the ISU Foundation. So I think being transparent about the fact that there's 2 people that were nominated from the Alumni Association and 2 nominated from the foundation, and then only 1 staff member. Just be honest about that and put that out there so people know. And I think those are the only, and then merit staff aren't represented. So that's kind of tough because, so think about that as you're trying to get voices to the table.
Yeah. And thanks. I'm going to ask for your help with this. You know, the committee is what it is, you know, at this point. Just to put it plain and simple, help me keep us honest, you know, you know, communicate as much as you can, and that will be very helpful, and that will, you know, increase the voices that are represented in the committee. So,
I might add, generally, when we get to that stage of where the committee's thinking about all of the candidates and the ones that might be semi, that we devote a lot of, the committee will devote a lot of time to that. And everybody on the search committee ought to feel free to make their case about those individuals that they think would be right for the university. And we always encourage our co-chairs, and I'm sure it'll happen this time, if a person has a view, there will be an opportunity for that to be heard. So you know who your search committee people are. Work with them, talk with them, and I assure you the process will give them an opportunity to be heard.
And I'll add just one thing. It's the first time that I'm chairing a search like this. I think it's the same for Dan. But we understand that the public meetings tend to be, there's a lot of representation from faculty, And we are purposely targeting people outside of the university for meetings like this. I think in recognition of this, President of PNS Council asked for a session, I think it's this afternoon or tomorrow, just for PNS Council, and hopefully that will address, you know, again, partially some of these issues. So.
Okay, others? And two subjects on the table, then we'll go to a third.
Yeah.
Challenges, and secondly, then, the characteristic of leadership.
Well, I like to talk just a little bit about challenge, but bringing a little bit of opportunity into this, too. We've talked a lot about the students, the faculty, but what we want is when the students leave is that they're actually going to be doing something. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the economic development, you know, piece of this. We've got a wonderful research park. A lot has happened over the past few years. But if you take a look at, depending upon what college, we got like 95% placement rate. We need more and more entrepreneurs and startups. It's just a fact of life. And if you follow that area at all, you know, people first think about East Coast and West Coast. But if you look at the studies, it's the Midwest who has got the biggest growth. And those two, if you will, East and West Coast, the people there are looking more at wanting to get things in the Midwest. It's up to us, that challenge of who's ever going to be the leader working, you know, with the faculty, with the students, to make sure that we are continuing that growth, because I think that is a sweet spot for Iowa State University. You know, it takes the research, it takes the students themselves who want to get out there and to do something. And with that, you have to have a leader who can is broad-based on looking at all of this. It's extremely important. And those who are doing the startups, the entrepreneurs, they're also the ones later in their life who are going to be supporting the university. So we have to support them, however it may be. And I think really looking at the research park, getting things out of the lab and getting it into the public sector and find out, do these ideas work? Don't make things perfect. They'll never get perfect until they're out in the public. Thank you.
I'm a retired faculty member, and I used to tell my student, well, I'm also an Iowa State graduate. Iowa State, I came to Iowa State College and graduated from Iowa State University, so if you know your history, you can put me in there somewhere. Where my comment is going to go here is a perception of how the president will work with and build the staff around them, you know, sort of thing, and then how do outside people perceive what's happening there. When I was here at Iowa State taking classes, I had classes in Beardshire. You can't find any classrooms in Beardshire now. And now if you got to the point of walking around in Beardshire, there's this person, I'll call it a vice president, not necessarily, and their staff, and then next one over is the executive vice president and staff, the same area function. You just go around the building that way, and you know, it's like they've built a structure to build a structure sort of thing. My comment has to do with how can another person, president, build his or her staff in such a way that it's not perceived as building an internal structure sort of thing, but rather accommodating the people around them.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, too, for your comments. And okay. Did everybody have a chance? I'm just going to move around a little bit, and I warned this gentleman back here that I was going to come back because he's a member of the staff. And would you care to make any comment? Would you have an opportunity? Thank you. And yes.
When I think about characteristics for the next president, I think somebody who's coachable, because I think we put a lot on the president, like they need to be the one to respond to everything. They need to be the one that raises all the money for us. They need to be the one that talks to the legislature. I mean, there's a lot. And so somebody who can be coachable by their team, which would be the president's council, vice presidents, et cetera. Somebody who allows, because we expect them to be external, and I understand that. I mean, we expect them to be able to be the external face for the university. Somebody who builds the team, utilizes their cabinet, because we have a talented vice president group. So somebody who care or can empower and team build with that cabinet, not just somebody who says, hey, you all take care of it while I'm, you know, being the face out there. So somebody who can really kind of build that team. And then somebody who's really just able to communicate, comfortable in situations where they might not be comfortable. When they're going to a student organization event, they can talk just as easily as they can when they go to a big donor event.
Thank you. Now, I'm going at the end, give everybody a chance to think about any of these three questions, but we'd like to get back to what I think can be an exciting few minutes. Why would somebody want to come to this great institution? Let's just talk a little bit, and this will help me when I'm talking to them on the phone. Why would they want to come here? And let's just spend 20 or 30 minutes here celebrating this university and maybe the community. Why would they want to come? Who would like to start that? Thank you.
So this is going to overlap a bit with characteristics. Because this president has a tremendous opportunity to bring public pride back in higher education, especially at Iowa State, because that has, in some public sectors, deteriorated for all the reasons we heard before, that we have a gap between the general public and what Iowa State can contribute. So there is a tremendous opportunity there for this individual to advance the importance of public education. And also to one of the reasons that there's kind of a gap now is probably due to some deterioration in ethical credibility. We're seen as out of touch and privileged, and so the president needs to be clear and transparent that the president, he or she, adheres to the same policies and values that the public does and also that the university has. So I think there's a great opportunity to engage that public pride again.
One experience we've had during a number of these searches is that it's okay to talk about the challenges because most people that really want this job really want to make a difference. And by knowing that there's some challenges they can work on, and if they can identify the fact that I think I have a skill set to get it done, that actually could get you a new leader rather than lose one. So that's why integrity is so important to us. You know, we work for the client, but we want all the candidates to know as much as they can about the challenges and so on, because it's not about getting this appointment done, it's about having it be a successful appointment. So thank you. That's obviously can be one of the challenges. Who else would like to talk about the strengths? Yes.
I just came back from a conference in Fort Worth, Texas, on a national conference on race and ethnicity. And Iowa State was very heavily represented. I was part of a team leading the 20 students, and there were very many members of staff and faculty in the Iowa team. And Iowa State has the Iowa State Conference on Race and Ethnicity that happens every year in March. And it's a very, very exciting experience. And at this conference, I could see and feel pride in being part of Iowa State, where people came up to us from so many universities around the country just to admire us for our commitment, both in terms of how many people were at that conference, but also aware of the financial commitment to send so many students to make this experience, as well as faculty and staff. And I think it's such a great pride. And this Iowa State conference is taking off and setting up a new office to continue training the community on multicultural competency. And I think that's a great opportunity for anyone who wants to become part of such an important, I think, part of the university experience.
Thank you. Others? And I'll go to the board and others too, or any of these questions.
Let me make a comment in regards to issues of diversity. Jim, just 1 second. We're also very aware, because of our work with NCORE and with different groups in the university, going to process, as we were talking before, I'm very aware that there's a lot of unconscious bias that we all bring to a meeting and a search. So one of the things that we're committed to do before we begin to screen any of the candidates is we're going to use the resources of the university to get trained and be more aware of how these dynamics work in a group, to try to avoid as much as possible, you know, this unconscious bias in the process. So I wanted to add that as part of the process. So,
so as a lifelong Iowan, I wanted to make a point that I think probably resonates with most of the general population. I grew up in eastern Iowa. I didn't realize until I was probably 17 years old that Iowa State was just as big a school as Iowa. You know, I didn't know any Iowa State fans. I only knew Hawkeye fans. Yeah, one of those towns. And so I feel a little bit justified in making this comment, and I hope I don't offend anyone, but when you think about the schools here in Iowa, you think, oh, if I'm going to be a teacher, I'm going to go to UNI. If I'm going to be a lawyer, a doctor, you go to Iowa. And what we have at Iowa State is this amazing engineering program, this amazing architecture program, and I think if I had to compare, that we're the school of the innovators, right? We're going to be the school where people are going to go off from Iowa and really make Iowa proud, right? Or we're going to be the people who start new things that are exciting, that, you know, in the aftermath of the Paris Accord conversation that's happened over the last couple weeks, you know, we are a leader in wind energy, for instance. And I think people coming from maybe around the world or around the country don't know some of the things that Iowa has to offer, that there are a lot of smart and compassionate people in this state. And so, you know, I guess I'm trying to make a point that Iowa State really is special, you know, beyond even just the other Iowa schools. But also I think the people here make Iowa a really awesome place to come. Yeah.
So can we quote you on that?
Yeah. many
perfect,
people here at the university are working on the profile so that we can tell a great story. So the candidates, anybody interested, nominated, will get, they'll know about the ad, they'll know about the profile. So these points can be made. Senator.
Well, part of the question was, what are the strengths? One of the key strengths, one of the most obvious strengths, is that students are voting with their feet. They're coming here. You know, 10,000 student increase over the last decade or so. I think that that really shows that, certainly within Iowa and really broader than that, this university has great appeal in terms of its educational opportunities. I certainly think it is very important to emphasize engineering, math, all of that. There are lots of job opportunities in the future, lots of opportunities for business development and so forth. That being said, and I will admit, you know, when I was in high school, I was a math physics jock, and I wound up in economics because that's as close as you can come in the social sciences. Okay. True confessions being made. I want to agree with my colleague in his earlier point about the need to emphasize the humanities. We have to educate students not just with what they want to learn, but what they need to learn. And we need to educate the whole human being. We need to have people who understand the why of what we're doing. And I don't just mean narrowly the why of why are we trying to solve this technological problem. The larger why, you know, what kind of human existence do we want to have? What kind of society do we want to have? What kind of world do we want to live in? people who have only the technological capabilities, as important as they are, but without that broader perspective, are not going to be people who are going to be adequate, able to contribute to the fullest with their talents. They have to understand the why of what they're doing. And it's especially true living in a democracy. I just feel these days that we don't have adequate education in what back in my day you called civics, you know, how government works and why it works the way it does and so forth. People have to be able to participate. I've said thousands of times, including at a meeting last night, you know, democracy is not a spectator sport. So we need people with that broader education, that broader perspective. And I think it has to start with a university president who is committed to the to educating the whole human being.
Thank you, sir. And now, the last two individuals that I'll give an opportunity to say are the two co-chairs, because they're very important. But I want to give everybody who came an opportunity. I know. Thank you. I know you. Let's go back here to a board member and a search committee.
Thank you. Let me say a couple things. One is I really like the idea of strategic positioning, that the new president needs to strategically position Iowa State. And the theme I'm hearing here today, one I've heard in the previous two listening sessions, is innovation, change, entrepreneurship, startups, those sorts of things. So I believe Iowa State is an incredibly relevant institution, and so a new president should think about emphasizing entrepreneurship in agriculture, entrepreneurship in energy, entrepreneurship in technology. And that way, I think we could help significantly position the university. And then another theme that I really like, it kind of came out earlier today, is that Iowa State should consider branding itself. And sometimes I think, I'm on the search committee, I heard a lot of things after the sessions that weren't shared in the session. So let me share one of those with you. A couple people came up to me and said, gee, wouldn't it be great, you know, in answer to the question, why come to Iowa State, wouldn't it be great if we still had Visha to talk about? Because Visha was the showcase of the university. Yes. And so, yeah, now I realize Visha has its problems, but I remember, I've been here long enough, I remember good Visha, Iowa nice Visha, family Visha, Visha as a showcase for Iowa State. So perhaps a new president could help resurrect that idea.
Sherry Bates on the Board of Regents. And I think I probably, as a regent, I am here to listen. And I want what all of you want in a president, because this is your university. That aside, I also am Iowa State, just as many have said. I graduated from Iowa State, my husband, our children, our spouses. It goes on and on. So when they talk about adventure, we've had that in our family here at Iowa State. So I hope that the next incoming president can identify that in Iowa, that so many of us here are Iowa State and how important that is.
We have two people that work in the central office. Would you care to say anything? Legislative?
No, okay, I'm well. Good. I'm in the gallery.
Okay, good. And we have another gentleman over here. You came? You're okay? Yes. Yes? Okay.
It's a question for the search firm. So in your experience, how do you put together a job description that gets at attracting people who are different, just different? What kinds of examples can you provide of searches you have had where you've really, when you cast the net, you got a really interesting pool of people from diverse backgrounds, diverse personal characteristics, whatever, what have you. And how? And what did you do to make that happen?
Well, first, this ad that you're developing, that will be very comprehensive. It's not a two-liner. We talk about challenges and characteristics, and many of these ideas need to be in there because that will attract a person that might want to work on that. If you say diversity is important, it's something we need to work on, it should say it, and that's a signal to someone. But more importantly, the individuals that often nominate will look at that and then think of a person that might be the right person. So there's nominations. And then we know people, and we try to encourage those individuals. We do not have a pool of people in our firm where we keep running the same group through. We try to do a fresh group of individuals every time, and we work hard at that. And this is where some of you who might know people need to help us. And we've had a record of women in key positions. We've had quite a bit of diversity. We have some record on that, and we try to present have the committee have a group of quite diverse people to consider. But remember, and this is where I'm always, we are not the decision maker. We are assisting the committee. Your decision maker is going to be this research committee and eventually the board. And so we'll try. Janice, would you want to add to this? Because you do a lot. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. This is great.
Yeah, we could.
It's more than advertising, too.
No.
That's probably our best strength, the word of mouth and genuinely sharing the kinds of attributes that you have already, that you will have identified and put into the ad and then talk to our colleagues. But if you want to know about the typical kind of communications plan and where we're going to be posting this advertisement, I can talk to you about that. And by so doing, I can also indicate that if you have any additions, or better ideas, or organs that you know might be interested in posting electronically, something specifically related to your area, we need to hear from you about that. And just let your co-chairs know, and we'll add it. We also try to be a bit frugal. So probably the biggest expense and the biggest ad will be in the print edition of the Chronicle of Higher Education. We just know that's read, and it's read by many people, both online and in print. We have three corridors of activity generally for the communications plan. We do the print and the e-postings in the Chronicle, in diverse issues in higher education, as in Hispanic Outlook, in Inside Higher Education, in the Journal of Blacks in Higher Education, and in Women in Higher Education. That's the foundation. There may be more. And we also, of course, we do respect the student paper, too. So out of the board office probably will be the general press release, maybe picked up here, too. But all the social media that you typically use will make the announcement about the launching of this important search and carry the advertisement. And, yes? What were you going to say?
Meet with the Board of Regents before the actual search committee, we've fixed that problem so other people aren't going to have that advantage, right? Okay.
Oh. Okay, we did read about that. Okay, and so that's the first quarter of activity. You have a lot of newspapers, Iowa Newspaper Association, you have about 300 dailies. and 300 dailies and weeklies. So we're assuming that we know that all of those will be touched in some way. Second, Carter, our organization contacts and associations. There are about 30 of those. Again, you may have a better idea. I hate to run through all of these, but they are. But we are in touch with the membership and or the leadership of all of these organizations. It goes from, in alphabetical order, everyone from the American Association for Hispanics in Higher Education and the American Council on Higher Education, right through to the University Professional and Continuing Education Association. If you have any thoughts and you're wondering if they're on our list, any concerns? I hate to just list all of these. Yes. Association of Public and Land Grant Universities for certain.
I wonder, can that be published on the... Is that list something that could be published on the website if it's not already there? Okay, because then people could look at it and say, oh, I'm a part of an association that's not on this list. I'll make sure to forward. I mean, it goes to another thing that Iowa State, we have committed people here. I've worked all but 2 years of my professional career at Iowa State, and I plan to retire from here. And I'm not the only person at Iowa State that's like that. I mean, we have a lot of people who are committed and who would, if asked, put things out there. They would take part in this, put it on social media, so it's not just the Iowa State University page. I mean, there's a lot of commitment here, so we also need a president who honors that activism, advocacy, commitment from students, faculty, and staff, which I already said yesterday.
So, and it's not. I want to add this. Isn't just it isn't an empty list. It's not shallow. We're serious about it. We talk to people. Jim especially, he just has a rich background. He's been president of some of these organizations. So we talk to people personally, to the leadership.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're looking broadly and deeply, and I really want to encourage you to pursue that commitment. It's just critically important that we find the absolute best person for the job, but also that that broad and deep search process is fundamental to achieving equal opportunity. And along those lines, I think it's very important that the next person that we hire, she or he, is equally committed to broad search and commitment to equal opportunity. There were two flagrant cases involving the last occupant of the Knoll, where major top positions were hired, were filled with no search, with no advertising, and that, I think, tremendously hurt the reputation of the university. So we not only have to use that process, we have to hire someone who is committed to using that process and filling all positions.
Of developing and creating a team and also hiring, because this big university have lots of retirements and lots of changes. So that capacity to bring in good people is something that I think is a major leadership characteristic, and we ought to dig into that with both reference checking and questions. And these questions will come out of our group about what's important. Now, when we call the head of the Land Grant Association, we'll talk, and he will think about people, but he'll want to know. He'll know a lot about the institution already, but he'll want to know what are they looking for. So that's why it's so important that we get this right, because he knows the whole country. He'll be one of our sources. Now, I want you to tell him about the BLAST. I think that's something. You want to add that?
Mm-hmm. That's added to it. That's what this is with our associations. But there's one other thing we
context. Now, why would you use the print of the Chronicle? I've experienced this. The print is the most expensive, but I find that there's senior people who maybe have retired, others still read the Chronicle. And what I get, what we get every time on these nominations, somebody, and it's amazing. We just did a search where the past president of Roosevelt University looks at that every week, and he looks to see what's happening to his friends. And if he sees something that looks like what we need, we'll get a nomination. And there are many people like that. So there are people that read that Chronicle still, think about it, and say, wow, I know a person. Now, don't forget your own graduates. We have discovered in one recent case, actually, several times, where you have outstanding leaders all over the country. And you might be surprised, but sometimes they want to come home. So don't underestimate the possibility of one of your own who's had a great career deciding, you know, my parents are getting older, so on, I'd like to come home to Iowa. So be thinking, and your alumni, we're going to talk with them about identifying some of your own great graduates.
And there are the interstate commissions that we work with, and the accrediting organizations that we work with. We also are going to be identifying, of course, the associations that are closest to your colleges. We use the American Society for Engineering Education and the Association of American Veterinary Medical Colleges, that kind of source. Then, the third area really will be the website. You already have a nice website, a good search page up, and once we complete the advertisement and the profile, which is being done for the most part right in your own offices, you know more about your institution than anyone else, that also will be on the AGB search website. So any thoughts or questions about that? Did that answer your question? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is it?
Go ahead.
So the print media is great for people who read print, and you'll get to a certain constituency when you do that. But I would encourage you to use Facebook Analytics and look at, because they can analyze, if you don't already, they can analyze who's connected to Iowa State. You can, the committee could utilize people who are connected to Iowa State to spread the word. It doesn't have to be about putting the position out there. It could be, hey, we know you love Iowa State because Facebook tells us so. Spread the word about this. And that's going to help you cast a broader net, because I'm going to be stereotypical. The people who might still read the Chronicle might be from a generation that places importance on having something in their hand, or it could be people like me who still read the daily every day, you know, and I never read it in the summer because it's never in my hands. So, I mean, but just to broaden that search, widen that casting of the net, you could use something like Facebook Analytics. I mean, we can all debate whether Facebook is good or not, but it works, so.
Good point.
We thank you so much. We do use all social media, so Facebook Analytics is in that realm. We do that. Thank you. Yeah. Actually, the Chronicle is the only print, unless some of your papers pick it up, which would be good.
Okay. Now, I'm being respectful of time. Is there anybody in the room that has not had a chance to make comments, and some of them may be generated? We still welcome them. That's the beauty of a relatively small group. Everybody gets to weigh in. Yes?
I just want to make a comment that I was fortunate to be on the last search, and I still truly believe it. These sessions are the very most important part of our search that I took place in. This is what we heard from people. This is what we'll base everything that we're going to do on, the kind of person that we want. So I just wanted to reiterate that it's very important to us as a board that we have this opportunity, and thanks.
Thank you, and don't underestimate, back to your point, your lead people at this university in every area are part of a national group of people. They know who the great presidents are. They know what's going on around the country, and in any meetings I've had, I've encouraged them to think about people who are right here and not hesitate to nominate them. So you're absolutely right about that. Now we come to the important part of the meeting, the chance for the two co-chairs to say a final word, who are really leading this effort.
So let me right away dissipate, contradict what Jim just said. I want to make sure that we all understand that the search of a president, it is an effort that needs to be shared with the whole institution. I'm a big fan of turning organizational charts upside down and try to understand what that means. Just as a personal anecdote, I did once something like that in my unit, and I got an email saying that I didn't know anything about administration because the dean was supposed to be at the top of the organizational chart. But the message what we're trying to do is to say is that we are here to support Iowa State in this search, and I think it's going to be a short effort. So when we talk about the word of mouth, that's really what we mean. You know, yes, we are going to publish this in places that will reach out to many people. Just the text will not mean much if there's no other channels of communication to reinforce the notion that this is a place where that person is going to be welcome. So your networks need to be added, you know, to the networks of the committee and to the printed media. And I really would like to, I'll repeat it again, you know, I encourage people that is not here today to send their comments, encourage people that is not here today to go to the website, and encourage people that is not here today to help us find the right candidates. I think it has to be a shared effort. In fact, our job is to just facilitate all of those different things. Just to add, you know, a couple of things that I've heard throughout the past 2 days, I think there's something about innovation that has come in every conversation, how the diversity of excellence in this institution makes it second to none in the state and in many areas in the world, you know, to actually make real and meaningful contributions, you know, to advance agendas. Not actually, I mean, on one hand, on business, and that is very important, Ron, but I think what I've heard is that we want to also take advantage of our capability of being entrepreneurs in social agendas. You know, there is something about social entrepreneurship, civic entrepreneurship. It was mentioned, you know, how civic entrepreneurship can actually become something meaningful in the state of Iowa, as well as business entrepreneurship is something that is important. Somebody that understands that is about the integration of all these different pools of expertise in the university is great. And the last thing that I will say is, you know, somebody said we're looking for a Renaissance man or a woman or Renaissance person. I will say, I'm not sure if, you know, there's such a person. So this notion that it has to be somebody can build a team, you know, a team builder person, is something that we need to probe in all of our candidates to make sure that they can actually build effective teams, lead those teams, and also give them enough latitude, you know, to take risks and move the organization forward. So I want to leave it there because we get a lot of airtime later on. But Dan.
Can't see over the podium, so let me just make my comments from here. Is this working? Yes?
Yes.
Yes, it is. So sometimes having background on the persons that are leading the search is important to put things in the proper context, because you might ask the question, why myself, why Luis? And I'll let Luis speak to why Luis. But I can tell you from my perspective, I can tell you it was an honor and a privilege to be asked to be a co-chair along with Luis for the search. And you might say, well, it's because Dan's an Iowa State alum, and that would be a true statement. You might say it's because Dan was born in Council Bluffs, Iowa 55 years ago, and he's an Iowan. That would be a true statement. You could say he runs one of the largest publicly traded companies in the state of Iowa with 15,000 employees, 7,000 of which are employed here in Iowa, so our employment matters. But I can tell you all of that's interesting, but one of the reasons why I serve Iowans is because some 35 years ago when I graduated from this institution, I was asked in my freshman year by my father why Iowa State as opposed to Texas, where we lived at the time. And he made a comment to me. He says, if you moved to Iowa, you're going to pay the out-of-state tuition. And I did pay out-of-state tuition for 2 quarters, and I ran out of money. And I went to the dean of admissions at Iowa State and said, I have a serious problem. He said, what's your problem? I said, I fell in love with a girl from Iowa. And after he picked himself up off the ground from laughing hysterically, he said, what can you afford? And I said, I can afford in-state tuition. He says, I'll give you in-state tuition, but you got to do one thing for me. You got to do something good for Iowa someday. That's why I serve on the Future Ready Iowa. It's why I do what I do every day on behalf of Iowans. So just because I'm chairman, chief executive officer, and president of a publicly traded company, that isn't the criteria. It's not good enough. Second comment I want to make about humanities and the comment that was made earlier. I can't tell you how many times in my business career that I don't go back to Socrates, that I don't go back to Plato, that I don't go back to Darwin in making decisions. And one of those that always rings in the back of my mind is Darwin. When he commented very specifically, people constantly misquote him and say it's survival of the fittest. But people who study that know that's not a true statement. It's the ability to adapt. This president will be the 16th president in 160 years, 10 years, 10 years long. We've got to find that man, that woman, who has the capacity and capability to respect everything about the past, embrace all those things that are good around our culture, our beliefs, our work ethic, and all of the things that are entrenched in Iowans. And someone said it earlier, advance this position on science and technology. It is the future. When I think about our workforce around the world, it's engineers, it's scientists, it's humanities majors. It is a battle out there for finding the best talent. Iowa State has the capacity to do that, but they have to have the right moral compass. They have the right form of ethics. All of those things become important in running a successful society, let alone a company. So from my perspective, the good news of sitting in today to this particular session, I didn't hear one single thing that was new. And don't take that personally, okay? I take that as a confirmation that your search committee and the other people on this campus have weighed in handsomely with their comments about the importance of communications, the importance of having an education background, the commitment to teaching as opposed to just research. Diversity, diversity, diversity. I thought I knew who the constituents were. That is one piece of new information. The component about the taxpayer, I think, was wonderful and one that we need to be very mindful of. So that constituency goes out to 10 or 12 or 15 people. And I'll finish with my very last story. I have two children that graduated from Iowa State, and Kelly just graduated here this past spring. And I remember she was 11 years old. She's 22 today. So 11 years ago, I was a senior vice president with the principal, and I was doing performance appraisals. And I still, if someone talks about reading the newspaper, I still dictate. Just put the carbon dating on that comment. So I'm doing dictation in my office on a Sunday morning, and my daughter walks in. She says, Dad, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing performance appraisals. She said, what's that? I said, well, this is what I tell my employees they're doing well, what they're doing poorly, but most importantly, their development plan. And she says, well, do you get one? I said, well, I do. Mr. Zimpelman, he does my performance appraisal. And she said, well, does he get one? And I said, well, you know, that's Mr. Griswell, and yeah, he gets one. Mr. Zimpelman does get a performance appraisal from Mr. Griswell. And she says, well, he's the boss, so he doesn't get one. And I said, Kelly, that's really not the way it works. The way it works is he really has 11 or 12 bosses. These are independent board of directors. So technically, he's got 12 bosses. And this is coming out of a babe, 11 years old. And she looks at me and she says, huh, well, that would really suck. And the reason I tell you that story is I think as you identify the right president for this university, he needs to understand he has hundreds of thousands of bosses. He has taxpayers. Mm-hmm. He has students. He has faculty. He has all the constituents that have been discussed. And I think the humility in the man or the woman that steps into this role and understanding it isn't to surround themselves or barricade themselves in Berkshire, but to make themselves available, to communicate properly, to understand he or she is accountable to all of us, not themselves. And to me, that is going to be one of those criteria that I'm looking for. So probably more of a speech you wanted this morning than not, but I found this session incredibly helpful, very forthcoming, and can't tell you enough how much I appreciate your taking time out of your valuable days to come and provide this candid, honest, unfiltered feedback. It was very refreshing. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Jim. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think it's time to end.
Thank you.
What do you think of our two chairs?
So you know, my criteria for a successful search committee, I'll say it also today, is that a year from now, we're all going to be willing to admit that we serve in the committee.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that works out.